again this time.
Yeah, go ahead and yell. That's fine. Yeah.
Fuck you and your righto.
That is a good way to start. You know what else is a great way to start? I turned on the TV this morning, and the first thing that was on was Batman and Robin on ABC Family. And I left it on and watched the whole thing to the end.
Wait, as in the that Batman and Robin?
Yeah, as in, you know, it's ice to see you, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Batman and Robin.
Did you suffer head trauma this morning?
No, but you know what I did after Batman and Robin? I switched it over to the sci-fi or sci-fi or whatever the hell they call themselves now network and watched part of a movie called Dino Shark.
Oh, I love Dino Shark.
It is awful. But I did notice that there is a movie coming up. I went through Sci-fi's lineup for today.
Was one of them Sharktopus?
Yes, with Eric Roberts. And I was like,
yeah, that movie is also great.
I'm pretty sure that one's on Netflix, yeah, isn't it?
Is it?
It should be. They should all be. Oh, but you don't have Netflix anymore, Chris, because you weren't political.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm all Netflix now.
No, I'm still on Netflix because my wife doesn't care about politics. She cares about instant access to TV shows.
Lindsay's kind of in both camps. She understood enough to be okay with my canceling of it, but we do miss the instant access.
Yeah, I tried explaining it to Misty, but she just, like, she understands why we would be pissed about such a thing, but she doesn't care. because she's like, yeah, Obama will never sign that. And they'll never get the 2/3 majority vote that they need to override his veto.
Yeah, that, you know, that is hopefully true. It's just in my opinion, and I assume yours, it's supporting that kind of behavior at the, you know, with my dollar.
Yeah. Well, the way I look at it is that I really think that the higher ups at Netflix don't actually believe in it, but they do have to respond to shareholders. You know, and that is like they have to publicly say stuff like that when privately they likely are all like, this is stupid.
What's insane to me is Netflix has already got enough pressure from those sort of bullshit laws where they might start charging for network access. Same with Hulu. Like, they'll require you to have a cable subscription to get to TV shows because people are starting to say, hey, well, we want people to have our channels. So we're not going to put our crap up on your program unless they can prove they're subscribed to our cable channel as well. Which I think is absolutely suicidal. Because that
is absolutely stupid.
Yeah. It makes a little bit of sense when you're dealing with instant availability, like on Hulu, where you can watch it the next day, perhaps. But with Netflix, you're usually getting it by the time it's hit DVD or Blu-ray, and then you no longer have to have that channel subscription to see it. So it doesn't make sense with that kind of...
No, and even with Hulu, it doesn't make any sense because no cable channels actually provide content on there.
I watch NBC shit, like Community, and I don't have to have a cable subscription for that, so why would they require one?
Right. Exactly. All you have to do is put a $10 antenna on your TV, and bam, you have all of network television.
Yeah.
But speaking of Community, that was a great 3-episode finale.
It was fun as hell.
I'm so sad because they fired the showrunner.
I'm ambivalent. I think that it could make the show... The show got a little bit crazy in the third season. Like, some episodes were amazing and some
were... Yeah, but the thing is that, like, every other episode this season, I found myself saying, this is the best episode of Community ever.
Since they came back from hiatus, yeah. But I think that the second season was a little bit... was perfect. The second season was amazing all the way through. So I think that it can still be a great show without Dan Harmon kind of going too meta on us.
You know, maybe, but I don't know. I just, like, the guy's done such a great job with the show since ever.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, the only episode that I can say I didn't like was the pilot.
That was the weakest one, for sure. Yeah.
It's just... God.
I haven't watched any of it.
You need to just start at the beginning and go crazy. Because it's one of those shows where the pilot is pretty good and the first few episodes are have some brilliance, and it just gets better. Like, it's a complete uphill shot.
Once the show just they hit the Halloween episode, I mean, that show just really found its footing.
Yep, and it got better and better and better.
Nothing like the autistic half-Arab kid playing Batman and old Chevy Chase on drugs being Beastmaster.
Yep. Exactly. You cannot laugh. And one of the three-season finales, they were the whole show was done in 8-bit animation because they were in a video game. So it was all video game music, and the references, like, it was all references to Pokemon and Zelda and Mega Man and just brilliant stuff the whole time.
Joel McHale even had the Mega Man jump.
Yep. Yep. And like when they went through the menus, those huge line of menus that he could access from Hilda, it was like, tell me about the Metal Blades and something else. And there are a couple of references to Hyrule, and it was just genius. It's great if you're a nerd. You need to watch it.
Yeah. Like,
give it a shot.
There was a great article actually on IO9 about Big Bang Theory versus Community. And like, Big Bang Theory is very much like the nerd show for everyone, because it takes all of those things that everybody kind of peripherally knows about nerdhood and makes it identifiable and not necessarily cool, but something that they all get. But like, Community is the nerd show for nerds.
It's legitimate. Yeah.
It's not to say that Big Bang Theory can't be enjoyed by nerds. Like, I found myself wanting to hate that show, but I actually really enjoy it.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah, it's hilarious, but it doesn't delve into the nerdhood enough. You know, it's very peripherally like, oh, Hal Jordan is Green Lantern. Okay. But in Community, they'd like say Green Lantern, and then you'd have somebody be like Kyle Rayner, Guy Gardner, John Stewart, Hal Jordan, Abin Sur, you know, and just start rattling off Lantern names.
Community jokes are for nerds, and Community Big Bang Theory is on nerds. Like, it's making fun of nerds.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more depth in summoning Beetlejuice in Community. That was brilliant. and that set up for three seasons. In the first season, they make a Beetlejuice reference. In the second season, they make a Beetlejuice reference. And in the third season, they make a Beetlejuice reference, and he walks behind the camera.
Okay, that's like, pretty brilliant.
They set that joke up for 3 years.
I'm still waiting for Owen Wilson to show back up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because there's a great season after, or a great episode in the first season after the holiday break, and Jack Black shows up, and he's all like, "Yeah, I've been there forever." And I mean, I haven't watched the first season episode, so I don't know if he was actually in the background those shots, which would be absolutely hysterical if he was. But he's like basically going on about all these stories, and at the end of the episode, Owen Wilson shows up, and he's all like, "Come on, Jack Black, let's go." And it's just, yeah. I butchered that episode.
But it's still terribly. Genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, speaking of Green Lantern, I also finally watched some DC Nation on Cartoon Network this morning.
Yeah.
And the Green Lantern cartoon was on. I'm not too keen on the animation, and obviously they kind of kitted it down a little bit. Like, after Green Lantern does something, the Guardians come up to him and say, "Oh, you have not yet been debriefed. You can't go back to Earth." By which we mean to say, "We have not yet thanked you." And I'm like, man, the Guardians wouldn't say shit like that. That doesn't make any sense.
Yes. I haven't picked that one up yet because it didn't strike me when I saw the commercials and watched the previews for it. It didn't grab me.
It's not too, I mean, they're doing some of, I mean, they've got Atrocitus and the Red Lanterns, and they've got the Star Sapphires, and they've got St. Walker and the Blues, and they've got the Greens, and all of that was in this one episode. So they're doing a lot of the Spectrum stuff.
I doubt that the Indigos are going to show up.
I have no idea. Like, this episode was the introduction of St. Walker, and he was still the first Blue Lantern, so it doesn't seem like it's really aligning with the Blackest Night, Brightest Day canon. So, I don't know.
I'll be honest. I know, like, next to nothing about that actual event, because that was in the whole, like, post-Batman getting killed by eye lasers after shooting, you know, Darkseid with a gun period, where I just, like, lost it.
I didn't read that bit.
Justice League, yeah. Rock of Ages, yeah?
No, that was Final Crisis.
Yeah, Final Crisis, yep.
Yeah, one of the final bits in Final Crisis is Batman, who like shows up for like 3 panels in the first page, disappears because he gets kidnapped, because Batman gets kidnapped. And then he shows up in like the final few pages with miraculously having a gun with the only bullet in the entirety of existence that can kill Darkseid.
Yeah, the one that they... Yeah, that whole...
Yeah. So not only does he kill Darkseid, but he kills him with a gun.
I forgot, because there was a sequence in one of the Justice League by Grant Morrison that was basically that exact same fight where Batman shows up out of nowhere, surprises everyone, shoots Darkseid, and then gets killed by his eye lasers.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much exactly it.
Yeah, they just did it on a bigger stage, and I was like, really? I think I've seen this before, Grant.
Yeah. Mm. But the Omega Sanction, Batman can't be killed by the eye lasers. He just gets sent back in time.
Wait,
yeah,
makes so much sense.
Didn't that happen? Didn't that happen already as part of Rest in Peace, like the aftermath of Rest in Peace?
Yeah.
Whatever. It was all crazy convoluted at that point, anyway. So
the funny part is that anime used to be the go-to bizarre, crazy storylines that you have to take an hour to explain to people, and now DC Comics is more confusing than the anime shows.
Huh. To be fair, anime shows are still ridiculously confusing.
Oh, of course.
They can be. But
awesome.
Yeah. Some aren't. Like my favorite one that's coming back on Toonami tonight.
Woohoo! Which one?
Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. I love that show. I mean, it's just... I was talking about this last night with somebody, I forget who. But it just tells the type of stories that I personally want to tell. You know, I mean, it's like they have good character development. One of the best dub jobs that's out there, and it starts out with like this idea of a conspiracy, and then it kind of drops it and has little standalone episodes, but then brings the conspiracy back and it all makes sense. And you see how it all tied in, and it's just it's brilliant. It's the most Western storytelling I've seen out of an anime, and I think that's why I like it.
Okay, cool.
So,
I've never seen Ghost in the Shell at all, so I might end up giving that one a shot.
Well, the movies are different than the series. Like, the movies went in a slightly different direction from the original manga, as I understand it, and the show followed the manga more closely. I haven't been able to track down any of the manga because my comic shop does not carry any.
Oh. You could find it online.
I could. Or I could find another comic shop.
Yeah. That's right. Your town is big enough to have more than one.
In fact, the one I go to has several stores within the city.
Oh. Yeah, we have one.
Hey, that's more than I had growing up.
Yeah. At least it's not none.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, like you said, Toonami's coming back tonight at midnight. So it's been... God, when's the last time Toonami was on the air? The mid-2000s?
I don't remember. I remember when it started.
Yeah, 2008.
Yeah, I remember when it started back in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I was homesick that day. I was so happy. And like the only two shows I remember being on were Thundercats and Voltron. And those were like two of my favorites growing up.
I remember watching Toonami for Dragon Ball Z, for Outlaw Star, Big O. And at the
Big
time,
O was on Adult Swim on Saturdays.
Oh, it was Adult Swim?
Yeah.
Okay. I got them mixed up.
Yeah, because they were very similar.
Yeah.
You know, just one was late at night and the other was at normal times.
Yeah, it was good stuff. And they've got, from what it looks like, a decent lineup. I haven't heard of Dead Man Wonderland or, what's it, Kasserine Sins?
Kasserine is... Kasserine. that's been around for a long ass time, because it's been a couple animes, manga. There was the live action / anime.
Is that the movie? The Robot Hunter guy?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh yeah, I've seen the original anime for that back when Sci-Fi used to do anime Saturday mornings.
Yeah, and there's the live action movie is phenomenal, and the manga is really good. So that one could be interesting. I'm glad to see they're bringing back Cowboy Bebop, although.
Oh yeah.
I think it's going to be hard to find anyone that hasn't already seen that by this
but
point.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. It's great. You know, I still haven't even seen the last half of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it gets a little weird, but really good.
Yeah.
Like the last bits where you get into the development with Vicious, it gets strange.
Hey, whatever. You know, I'll be honest, though, I'm looking through this, and the two shows, that, like Cowboy Bebop and Full Metal Alchemist, are the ones that I already have set to DVR. Because I love Full Metal Alchemist. It's just like I mean I haven't seen Brotherhood, but I hear that Brotherhood is the one that like sticks with the manga more.
Yep, it sticks with it entirely.
Well, that's awesome. But the original one was just so great, and I love the characters. You know, really looking at it, I guess anime has some great characters.
Yeah.
You know, there are just so many of them that have just really good character development, especially that last hour and a half of the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, Bleach, though. No, I don't like Bleach.
I've never seen any of it. I keep hearing so many good things about it from so many people, but I've just never given it a shot.
Let me put it this way. I would rather watch Inuyasha again.
Ugh.
I've never seen that either.
Inuyasha, slightly better.
Huh. See, I love Bleach. To a point. And then it goes into the Inuyasha thing where, like, we're not going to have anything happen for 200 episodes. And, like, it's sort of the Dragon Ball Z thing where an entire episode will be the buildup of a fight.
Uh-huh.
And just ridiculous. Because I read the manga for Bleach for a long time, too. And it was great good. And then it just went off the rails. That's always my problem with anime in general, though, is when they drag out series to 500 friggin' episodes.
Yeah.
Not good.
Well, it's just like there gets that point. I saw some of the beginning of Bleach, and I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of a compelling idea, but I'm bored. And then there's the part where they like go into the world of the dead, and he starts like fighting all of these people just so he can get this girl that he's known for literally like a week and a half back or free or whatever. And I'm like, seriously? You just met this woman. And you are risking the life of you and your friends for something you have no clue about. And now you have to become a superhero.
Although, really, that's pretty common, hero mythos. You know, like, oh, I just met this girl and I'm in love with her and I'm going to risk everything to save her. But it wasn't done as well as, say, a manga like Full Metal or something like Cowboy Bebop that's actually compelling over a long period of time.
Yeah. But I just have to say, for whatever the kid's name is in Bleach, it didn't work out very well for Romeo. Ain't gonna work out for you. And Romeo was much more compelling.
Than Ichigo?
Oh, was that his name?
That's the guy's name, Ichigo.
Yeah. I fight demons and ghosts. Yeah. So, you know what is a good cartoon that Cartoon Network has? Transformers Prime.
Really?
Yeah, I fucking loved it. I watched the entire first season of it over the course of like a day and a half on Netflix. Shut up.
I'm hesitant on anything Transformers because when it came back a couple years ago, it wasn't Prime, it was whatever the hell reboot they did, it was so atrocious.
Where they were fighting people.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, this one, it's actually really cool. It maintains some level of the spirit of the original show. And also, I mean, you have Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime still. You have Jeffrey Combs, who is amazing in everything ever, forever. As Ratchet, who's hilarious. And then you get Frank Welker back as Megatron, and fucking Steve Bloom as Starscream. And in the first episode, Starscream yanks the heart out of one of the Autobots.
Did they keep Starscream's personality intact?
Oh, yeah. He's still backstabbing and conniving and ultimately a coward.
Right.
You know, but he's just...
give it a shot. Starscream was always one of my favorites.
Oh, Starscream is my favorite. Soundwave is pretty cool, too. He never actually talks.
Does he still have the cassette thing?
No, he transforms into a predator drone, but he still has Laserbeak, which just appears to be a chest piece. And there's a couple bits throughout the season where they're all just like looking at him. They're all like, yeah, whatever. And then they realize his chest piece isn't there. And then Laserbeak comes out of nowhere and kicks their ass. It's pretty great. And he's like a complete badass, too.
But why Soundwave and he's a predator drone? That doesn't really...
Well, it didn't make sense in the third movie when he was a SLS McLaren.
Oh, I didn't see the third movie. Fuck that.
I don't think I even saw the second movie, to be honest.
Second one was... I really liked the first one. I mean, it wasn't good, but
it
was fun. I
didn't like the first because it was about people, and it was called Transformers. They literally should have called that movie a whole bunch of people run around while these giant robots show up every now and then and blow shit up.
But it was still a fun movie. Like, I enjoyed it. I was like, okay. And then I was like, yeah, hell, I'll throw in and see the second one. And the second one was just one of the worst things I've ever had to sit through in my life.
Oh,
it was awful.
They blame the writer's strike for it. The writers couldn't work pro bono to fix their thing, even though they'd already been paid for it.
Yeah, his mom eating the weed brownies and, like, that whole...
His parents didn't need to be in any of those movies. Let's be honest. Yeah. They could cut every human from that series, and it would have made the exact same level of sense.
Well, yeah, and the blatant racism and, oh, my God.
Yeah, like, the twins, that was just sheer minstrelsy. And it's just terrible, because, I mean, I went to see it here in IMAX, and I'm just, like, sitting there watching it, and, like, when they're on screen, all the white people are like, this is terrible, you know? And, like... it's just it's the most racist damn thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, we can't read.
And I have seen Klansmen in person because they were in my town walking around handing out pamphlets, and I was a little kid, and I'm like, why the fuck is this ghost handing people paper? And my mom is all like, he's in the Ku Klux Klan, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was a real bad film. So I kind of gave up on the Transformer films at that point.
Yeah, but no, Transformers Prime captures a lot of the spirit of the original show, and at least of the original universe. It's definitely been modernized a little bit. The human characters make a lot more sense this time around, and they don't actually, they don't even show up anywhere near as much as you'd think either. And Ernie Hudson is one of them, and he's hilarious. He's like their government handler. It's pretty funny. I like it.
if it has Starscream and it has Starscream as Starscream, then I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, and he's an F-16 as opposed to an F-15. But it's okay.
Yeah, that's a minor update.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little more upset about Soundwave not still being a cassette tape.
Yeah,
but or at least still... make him an iPod or something if you want to update him. That makes sense.
He's still the tech guy, though. Like, he still does, like, all of the intelligence. And I want to hear him talk. I want to hear the old school voice filter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, like, there's this one bit where it's just in, a couple of the Firefly actors do voices, too. Like Gina Torres and Adam Baldwin are both Decepticons.
Cool.
And there's just, like, this one great exchange later in the season between Gina Torres and Soundwave. And it's just, like, this perfect moment for him to say something. And he just kicks her ass instead. And I'm just like, I can get behind that. So, but no, it's really good. And there are no flames on Optimus.
That's nice.
Yeah, just they do still have the stupid Bumblebee can't, like, actually talk thing, which really just is dumb.
That just reminded me. There's this image yesterday, an animated GIF of a cat wearing a bumblebee outfit. And it kind of top, it stares at the camera as it falls over onto its side smoothly and then rolls off the side of the chair that it was standing on in one fluid motion. And then the caption on it was "Bumblebee roll out." And that just, that gave me a little giggle.
That is pretty epic win. I still think the favorite gift that I have seen recently is that one from the Avengers that you put on Twitter.
I think that's one of the favorite scenes in a movie that I've seen in a really long time, in general, with Loki and the Hulk.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
The puny god scene.
Yep. It's just so amazing, because it just, in any other movie, that would never have happened.
No.
It's, I mean,
the timing of the scene, the dialogue preceding it from Loki, and the little line of dialogue afterwards from Hulk, and then just the timing between the dialogue and the action, it was just so perfect.
Yeah, I have since seen that movie a third time.
We have yet to go back, but we've been really busy.
Yeah, we went to see it with Vinny like a couple weeks ago.
Cool.
And I think one of Misty's coworkers hasn't seen it yet. And she's like, I don't know. It sounds kind of, I don't know, like stupid, like a superhero movie. And Misty was like, no, this movie's great. I've seen it three times. I will see it a fourth.
Nice.
Because let's be honest, that movie is great.
It is. So, it's a solid movie.
And speaking of Avengers, have you seen the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes cartoon?
No.
Not yet. It's on my Netflix queue, but I haven't watched it.
It's pretty solid. I watched a season of it the one season that was up last year when I was spending a week back east, and it's surprisingly really good. They got a voice actor who sounds kind of like Robert Downey Jr. to do Iron Man, which is pretty fun. And, like, it also brings in, you know, and you get good old school classic Hawkeye with the purple and blue costume.
Mm.
And, you know, classic Thor, and Loki is awesome. He's like the big villain again, as well as Enchantress and Executioner show up as well as like his lackeys.
I'm going to have to give it a shot. It's been sitting there and staring at me in my instant queue, but I've been busy with other shows. One of my favorite things about the Avengers being awesome now is that any store you go into, they have Avenger toys. So the dollar store had these awesome little stand-up action figures, but all the original old costumes. Ooh, so mm-hmm. Now that is what my desk is. It's just full of Avenger toys.
Yeah,
what,
I want to get
some of the... What dollar store was that?
Family Dollar. No, it was Dollar General or something.
I think we have a Dollar General in town.
I only have Family Dollar.
It was pretty freaking awesome because they're you know, inch and a half figures, but they're pretty good sized. So, you know, the Hulk's obviously the bigger one, but he's still not that huge. And they look sort of like the new ones, Captain America and Thor and Iron Man are the new ones. And then Hawkeye's the old purple and blue costume and stuff. And it's pretty awesome.
I always hated Hawkeye. He seems like such a stupid addition.
I don't know. I kind of like him. He was like Green Arrow, but like badass.
Well, yeah, but Green Arrow is actually better than Hawkeye, so I'm just going to have to...
Yeah, but Hawkeye never misses.
Hawkeye's a douche. Green Arrow is much better.
Dude, you think Hawkeye's a douche? You should check him out in the Ultimate Universe. He is like douchey McDouchington.
Didn't they pull like his little betrayal thing that happened in the Avengers movie? Wasn't that based somehow on something that happened in the Ultimates universe?
No, that was based pretty much on the original universe, because Hawkeye was originally a villain.
Mm.
I
never paid too much attention to him.
Yeah, he was one of those guys who flip-flopped. You know, I'm trying to think of like other notable people like that.
Quicksilver did the same thing.
Ended
up on the Avengers.
Yeah, because he was Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Scarlet Witch was too, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're Magneto's kids, you kind of have to.
Yeah, that's all you do.
You know. Man, in the Ultimate Universe, those two are creepy together.
Oh.
Like, borderline incestuous.
borderline. I think that it's...
Well, they never actually show them doing anything.
Well, so true, but...
That's why I say it's borderline, but when the two of them are sharing the same, like, glass of or bottle of champagne in the same gondola in Venice,
yeah,
that's when you're just like, yeah, they're doing it.
It's real obvious on that one, but...
Well, Mark Millar is not one for subtlety, let's be honest.
No. No, he's not.
That's an episode in and of itself.
Yeah. I think we've touched on him in the last one of the last few episodes.
I still have my Twitter argument with him saved. So I called him out. I was like, really? You just write comics because you want them to get made into movies. Let's be honest. And he didn't take that very well.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, you know what? Then maybe you should just write movies.
I completely agree.
You know,
because the movies out of his comic books are arguably better than his comic books. So.
Yeah, especially Wanted, because Wanted had a point.
Exactly. And a good protagonist in it.
Yeah. I do like James McAvoy. He was a great Charles Xavier.
Yeah. I like James McAvoy.
Oh, I love that bit at the end of First Class. And he's like, at least I still have my hair.
That was a good line.
That was... Damn, I want First Class too.
Well, they put it off so Jennifer Lawrence could do the second Hunger Games movie.
Which is itself getting delayed because they lost the director.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. I haven't read the Hunger Games. I haven't seen the movies. I just am like, okay, another post-apocalypse, but this one's a young adult novel.
Yeah.
I'm not touching this.
Who was Jennifer Lawrence in First Class?
She was Mystique.
Mystique. All right. I didn't know the actress face to the name.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that cameo for Wolverine in that was pretty epic.
Yeah.
Just two words, just hanging out in a bar, smoking a cigar. Fuck
the best
off.
Thing he's done since X2. Honestly, I mean, yeah. Yeah. That was the most Wolverine we've seen since the second X-Men movie.
Well, to be fair, I don't think any of the Wolverine we've seen in movies in general, other than that little clip in First Class, was really Wolverine.
I'm hoping that for the upcoming other Wolverine movie that they actually allow him to, you know...
Mm, the one in Japan?
Yeah, they allow him to be Wolverine.
I think they will. I think this is going to be a departure from... everything that's happened before, and I doubt it's going to have any kind of real tie in continuity to those previous movies.
Yeah. The one thing I have to say is, like, I understand everybody wants to get movies in that PG-13 rating bracket so that way they can get everybody in there and all that stuff. Like, I don't think that the movie industry has realized that age-gating content like that has stopped video games from making ridiculous sums of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, seriously, nobody cares if a 12-year-old kid buys a ticket for an R-rated movie anymore. Nobody's cared for years.
No.
I don't know. I think that movies are, they have a bigger block for the younger audience than, say, games. Because people still don't think of games as significant or influential. I mean, I know there's obviously a lot of debate, but most parents aren't thinking... if they pick up Modern Warfare, their kid's going to go shoot somebody. But hey, if their kid sees tits, then that's terrible. Right. They don't want to have that discussion. And it's stupid, but that's really what it comes down to. So I think that a lot of parents would be scared of having their kids hear the swear words and see boobs. But with games, they could care less.
I guess they don't realize that games use a lot of swear words.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Well, I think part of it is that the companies find a property they want to turn into a movie, and then they fit it not into which rating fits the property, but which rating fits the largest demographic that they can reach. So, I mean, Wolverine has to be an R-rated movie. You can't really get the full impact of Wolverine in anything less than that.
I completely agree, but the MPAA is much stricter and weirder about how they judge movies as well.
Yeah.
So I think having to deal with them is much more difficult than having to deal with the ESRB. So I can see why they try to err on the side of X. And movie theaters get to choose what movies they show. So, you know, if you get a rating that a theater thinks you're not going to make enough money off of or isn't mass appeal enough, they won't show the movie.
Yeah, I think in the case of a Wolverine movie, though, if it were done properly and it had the right rating and it had the right kind of content, I mean, Wolverine is one of the most popular characters in the Marvel Universe because of who he is and what he does and why it's and how it's, I don't necessarily agree with all of the aspects of his character. I think some of them are a little overblown, but he is the most, one of the most at least popular characters that they've got. And that will transition to a movie if it's done right.
They just need to been around for 30 years at this point.
Yeah.
They need a different set of expectations. Like, they can't expect the new Wolverine movie to do X2 numbers if it's going to be an R-rated movie. They need to think of it as having it be a high-rated or a high-grossing R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Well, I think,
you know, I think with comic book movies, I think they assume are going to be blockbusters, which is why they try to make them PG-13. Is they want them to make $400 million.
Or I just hope that the Avengers success, a billion. Yeah. I hope the success of Avengers doesn't put off any other kind of superhero movies that don't perform $1 billion of Avengers and of Dark Knight, actually.
Well, I mean, look at like the superhero movies that immediately followed The Dark Knight, namely Iron Man 2. Now, while many people could make a very good argument as to why Iron Man 2 is not as good as the original Iron Man, I would respectfully disagree. I highly enjoyed it. But, you know, it's just Dark Knight. Let's look at that. Dark Knight was a great film. It really was.
Yeah.
But a very large portion of that $1 billion that they made was people wanting to see the last Heath Ledger performance.
True.
You know, and like, God rest his soul, he played that part so damn well. You know, I mean, that's just I wouldn't say he deserved his posthumous Oscar.
I almost would. I mean, that performance is really disturbing. I mean, when I saw that like midnight in IMAX, and there are parts where I was kind of got chills seeing the vacancy in his eyes and how well he played that at the beginning of the film, especially. It was phenomenal. I think it was the best acting I've seen in a comic book movie for sure.
Yeah. No, it was really good, but, you know, I don't know. Tom Hardy has a very tough act to follow.
Yes. I doubt this Dark Knight Rises is going to be quite as good as Dark Knight was.
Yeah. I want it to be, but I really, I think they should have just ended it at Dark Knight.
I'm okay with them finishing it and doing the trilogy, but we have to look at it. It's going to be like Star Wars. Empire is obviously the best of the trilogy, this next one's going to be great, and people are going to like it, but it's never going to match up to The Dark Knight.
I don't know. If it's anything like Star Wars, then that means Dark Knight Rises will be my favorite.
See, for me, Star Wars is the best of the three. It's the only one that can stand alone. It doesn't ruin anything. Then you get into Empire, and then you have to see Return, and then you get the fucking Ewoks. And then that just ruins it.
You know, I don't mind the Ewoks.
See, but that's because you're stupid.
No, I don't mind the Ewoks. Because while they're all running around being stupid and getting blown up, upstairs is happening the greatest space battle that's ever been in a movie, ever.
Aside from, you know, if I watch Return of the Jedi, I do my best to ignore the parts with the Ewoks, and it's phenomenal. Like, the battle on the Death Star, the battle in space, everything else is really great. The beginning, I love the whole sequence from start to finish on Tatooine. I love it. But then you get these little teddy bears throwing rocks and sticks at elite stormtroopers. You know, Emperor said it himself, it is one of his elite legions down there. And they're getting beaten by sticks and stones and being pushed over.
Well, yeah. Let's be honest here. Ridiculous. Elite stormtroopers just means that they have an accuracy rating of 3% as opposed to 2%.
But still, like, we're going to take down these giant 18-ton mechs with logs and boas and like twine we made out of freaking vines. I mean, come on.
Really? But yeah, it pisses me off just because it's such a bad premise that the teddy bears beat the highly trained. And see, here's the thing with the stormtroopers. They're inaccurate when they're shooting at heroes who can't be killed. When they're getting onto the cruiser at the very beginning of Star Wars, they are very accurate. They're taking down the rebellion or the Republic troopers on the ship they're barely taking any losses. So when it's when it's inconsequential people taking the shots, the stormtroopers have a very good accuracy rating. And who gives a crap about teddy bears?
Yeah. You would be singing an entirely different tune, I believe, if instead of Ewoks, they had been Wookiees.
Well, I would be, because Wookiees use bowcasters. Wookiees
and are badass.
Bigger, they're stronger, they have more of a menacing appeal to them. They are, Chewbacca versus a stormtrooper, I'd say Chewbacca, because he's got strength, he's got range, he's got advanced technology and advanced intelligence, even though he can only speak in growls and grumbles.
Well, that's not an intelligence problem, that's probably a physical limitation of his vocal cords.
Of the vocal cords.
Hence why no one else can speak Shri-Wook.
Right.
Wookiees are technologically advanced in the first place. I mean, they live more primitively, traditionally, but they have technology and they have space travel. The Ewoks are they're nothing.
Yeah, they are tribal teddy bears with sticks and stones and little homemade rope. So I would be singing a different tune if they were Wookiees, because it is a very different situation.
I love how everyone in Star Wars basically just says, oh, this is a group of unadvanced primitives. Who cares? Let's settle here. Let's just show off our godlike technology.
And
yeah. It's like, seriously, guys, where is your prime directive?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And the whole, let's have C-3PO be a god. And God.
Well, that was Luke going against like the whole Jedi thing. Yeah.
Well, the Ewoks already assumed he was a god when they first saw him. It wasn't until Luke came later and had him and used the Force to lift and scare the Ewoks. But the premise had already been set of 3PO being their god. I don't think there was ever any explanation as to why a golden droid would be seen as a god by the Ewoks when they've already seen all of this other technology.
And well, I probably haven't seen one plated in gold.
Maybe.
Gold.
That's possible.
Gold.
Assuming gold is a rare substance on the forest planet of Endor.
Assuming so.
Yeah.
It could be like Star Trek, and gold is so, prevalent throughout the galaxy that it's worthless and used to plate the truly precious substance of latinum.
Yeah.
God, I love Ferengis.
They're dicks, but at least you can always gauge their motivation.
You can always count on them. Yeah, you can always count on them to stab you in the back.
As long as there's profit in it.
Yeah. Like, we were just, Missy and I started watching Next Generation. She's never seen it.
Mm.
And we just got to the first episode where the Ferengi show up, and I didn't know that Armin Shimmerman was in that episode.
Yeah.
Until like I'd watch it, because now like I know his voice. It's just like I pick it out and everything. I'm like, oh, that's Armin Shimmerman as the Solarian counselor, that's him as the principal in the last season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But it's just like, so it's interesting to know that he has played like a Ferengi in every evolution of the character, with the exception of their quote unquote first appearance in Star Trek Enterprise.
So you got my hackles up there, and so it was last good season of Buffy. But I started watching this shitty show called Invasion from like 2005. Do you guys remember that? It only had a season. But I like anything to do with aliens. And he's in that playing a Ferengi-like jewelry clerk or something. And I laughed. I was like, wait, I know that voice. And I looked up, and it was him, and he was playing a Ferengi.
Well, no, dude, let's be honest here. Season 4 of Buffy, terrible. Season 5 of Buffy, slightly less terrible.
I thought it was good. It had some great episodes. It had an excellent ending. I think if the series would have ended there, I would have been completely happy. I would have been very satisfied, and
it would have been better. But the whole like, oh, all she has to do is bleed a lot to like open the portal. Like that episode where she cut herself open. Why didn't like a portal open then?
Well, because it wasn't in the right space. All right, listen, damn it. If we're gonna start getting into this, it doesn't work that way. Damn it, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is some. There was some
hand waving him was in the house and hit stop the portal. Yeah.
But I won't argue season 6 and 7, they were terrible.
I don't know, season 6 was at least funny. You know, sometimes. like having the trio, like that was just brilliant cuz they were just hilarious and stupid. You know? So I like
there were good pieces in 6 and 7, but they handed it over to Marty Noxon as the producer when Joss Whedon went to go do Firefly and then never really came back and kind of killed it.
Yeah, but I think we can all agree that the finale was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I don't recall it. Is that... Oh. See, Spike ends up, like, staying below in the giant hell mouth or something.
And they all escape. He becomes, like, Mr. Like, I am a vampire, but now I am made of sunlight. And then Anya gets killed for no reason.
Which one was she?
Xander's girlfriend, the former demon.
Okay. I don't really remember her.
She was awesome. But yeah, it was to show that people can die in the heat of battle and there isn't big ceremony to it. And
they killed her instead of like the little borderline gay kid. But
borderline?
Was he one from the three?
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew. I remember them.
You know what? I did like him though. He was funny. I'm kind of glad. He's great.
Didn't one of those three get their skin peeled off or something?
Yeah. Yeah. At the end of season 6, and then the other one got stabbed by the survivor.
Huh.
Oh, and then he also was the intern in Cabin in the Woods.
Yep. Yep.
That movie's so great. I still hate the ending of it, but that movie was great.
I agree. I need to go see it again. I want this shit to come out on video so I can just buy it and watch it all day.
Yeah.
I'm still going to watch it in general.
Is it me or are we liking a whole bunch of stuff this episode?
It's a welcome change.
I was going to say, we can start hating on shit.
We can go back to talking about Ewoks if you want. I can hate on that for the next 20 minutes.
Hell, let's just talk the whole prequel trilogy. I mean, that'll just...
Well, you know... I downloaded the despecialized editions of the original trilogy, and it's the theatrical content, but it's upscaled, Blu-ray quality, color corrected, all of that crap.
Yeah.
Really fantastic. Loving it.
I don't doubt it.
There's the source that I found it from had a order of watching the films called Machete Order.
Yes.
Where you completely skip Phantom Menace. You do Star Wars, you do Empire, then you do whatever the hell 2 was called, and then you do Revenge of the Sith, and then you do Return of the Jedi. And his explanation of it actually made a lot of sense to me, because it changes it. You know, originally the trilogy was Luke's story, then you had the prequel trilogy, and Lucas was saying, oh, it's Anakin's story. But then with Machete Order, it reverts back to being Luke's story, and I think it works better that way. And it made a lot of sense for Return of the Jedi as well.
I'll be honest, and hate me if you want, but Phantom Menace is my favorite of the three new ones because Liam Neeson and Darth Maul, and that's it. Everything else about that movie was absolutely terrible. The space battle was terrible. Natalie Portman was terrible. Ewan McGregor was just okay. Everything else was god awful. But it's when Liam Neeson and Darth Maul are there on screen, I can forgive the other 2 hours.
It was a good fight between the two of them.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed the fight between Hayden, whatever the hell his name is, and Ewan McGregor at the end of Revenge.
I didn't, because there were too many, like, Michael Bay style, let's get right up in the face of the action so you can't tell what's going on.
moments. There was a lot of that, but I felt that conflict between Anakin and Obi-Wan, I was glad I got to finally see that falling out, that final falling out between them.
There was a great conflict between Luke and Vader in Return of the Jedi, and didn't have too many of those like heated moments. Like, there was something that was lost to George Lucas between Return of the Jedi and Revenge of the Sith, where he forgot that you can have an emotionally charged scene where you don't have to cut out what everything else is happening. Because let's be honest, the emotion at that point kind of takes a back seat to it being a badass lightsaber duel.
True.
You know, and the great part about a badass lightsaber duel is that you see the lightsabers going around. You know, when you just see faces with blue lights on them, it just isn't the same.
That's true. The battle between Luke and Darth Vader on the second Death Star was really phenomenal.
Yeah.
When I love when Luke finally loses it, when Darth Vader finally figures out that, you know, he has a daughter as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that rain of blows as soon as Darth Vader kind of falls backwards, that Luke is just slamming, hitting him over and over and over, and that rage is coming out of him. And then he finally cuts the hand off and realizes that they're similar. Their paths, that his path, if he continues, may lead to becoming Darth Vader.
And I just looked up Machete Order, and I think I found the best reason for that ordering ever. Is that if you watch it in release order, since they put Hayden Christensen in the end of the third movie, no one knows what the fuck is going on if you haven't seen the movies before.
Yeah.
You mean End of Return?
Yeah, that's what I meant. The End of Return, when which I never really thought of before. But I was like, yeah, if I was showing somebody those movies for the first time, how the hell are they supposed to know anything that's going on at the end of that film?
Well, let's be honest here, too. Why the fuck does he show up as how he looked 20 years prior?
Yeah, that was stupid. Because when he died, he had essentially repented in his older age.
That's fine, but he still should have just showed up as himself, just with like actual limbs as opposed to, like, I guess, nubs.
Well, that's and what that I'm was saying.
That was his redemption. Age, yeah,
so he should have. He had redeemed himself before he died, so he should have appeared in his final aged form. And Obi-Wan appears as Alec Guinness. Appears as a wrinkly old green thing.
You know what? I bet you in the next edition, for whatever's after Blu-ray, what is it, Ultraviolet or whatever, Yoda is going to be computer-generated Yoda, and it's going to be Ewan McGregor. And then Jake Lloyd.
My heart just stopped. No, but how does he even know what his father looked like 20 years ago?
Exactly. He's probably, like, if I were Luke, I'd be like, who the fuck is that guy?
Exactly.
It's like, there's Obi-Wan, there's Yoda, and then.
Well, I mean, he may get a force sense from him that reminds
him. I don't care.
Also, no, my favorite reasoning for Machete Order, if we're on that, is at the beginning of Return of the Jedi, Luke is in all black. He's force choking. He's threatening Jabba's destruction. You feel like he's on this darker path. And when you put in 2 and 3 between 5 and 6 and watch as Anakin, as an adult, falls to the dark side and you see some of these similar patterns developing in Luke, you get this feeling throughout most of Return, which culminates in his little rage attack against Darth Vader, resulting in Darth Vader losing his hand again. You get this overarching feel of, holy shit, Luke is following in his father's footsteps and falling to the dark side.
Hmm. Yeah, it is. It's just Return of the Jedi really was a very subtle movie in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie. Like, it's my personal favorite of all of the Star Wars films. It's just so cool. You know? And, I mean, you get all of the best starfighters, too. I mean, you get your X-Wings, you get the B-Wing, the A-Wing, and then you get the TIE Interceptor, which is just, like, the badass from badass town Imperial fighter. I love a TIE Interceptor. I want a TIE Interceptor toy. I would hang it somewhere, a position of honor in my apartment.
I see.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's all right. It's all right.
Like, how about them Mets?
I don't know. How about that 38 Studios that is gone now?
I talked about that in MMO's Tavern yesterday. I was quite sad. It was a really bad week for MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you had, you know, the whole 38 Studios thing finally coming to a head. And then, you know, an undisclosed number of people getting laid off at BioWare from Star Wars The Old Republic.
The whole mismanagement. I don't know who did what or what happened with 38 Studios, but it makes me angry because there was the issue that came up with the mortgages that 38 Studios was supposed to take care of for the people that they relocated from Massachusetts. Now apparently the banks are calling those employees wondering why the mortgages aren't being paid on those homes.
Yeah. It
should have been sold. And then the whole all of this mismanagement.
What's so disappointing is, imagine how much money they would have saved if they would have not hired R.A. Salvatore and Todd McFarlane
to do nothing.
Those were the weakest part of that game was the story and the art. Like, it really wasn't that impressive. They could have had better or equal work done by people that cost millions of dollars less.
Hell, they could have hired me for $50,000 and I'd have tried. Really,
but I was gonna say shit. I mean, I write crappy fantasy short stories all the goddamn time. Like, I mean, I could have put together a better story than that. And it was such a great game mechanically. Like, it was really a lot of fun and had a lot of promise. And I'm kind of upset that they're gone and there's never going to be anything after. We're never going to see what they could have done.
Yeah, the figures I saw were that to break even and be able to pay off their loans to like Rhode Island and shit, mm-hmm. they would have needed to sell 3 million copies.
Right.
And they only sold 1.2. And I mean, that's really sad to say that 1.2 million copies sold is not enough.
I say that's a highly successful, especially for a new IP.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's you know how many people with established IPs would kill for that number of sales in the 90-day period?
It's that whole story is just horrific. And I've seen a couple more about it recently, and it's disheartening because I really wanted to see more from them.
I wanted to see Copernicus, you know, like, I mean, it just, especially like the few leaked screenshots that came out from that, man, I wanted to check that out. You know, it looked interesting and cool, you know?
Yeah. It's a sad, sad week. And my PS3 died finally. So that was depressing.
Oh,
Yellow Light of Death hit. Yeah.
Well, why is that depressing? Aren't there only three games for it that you can't get for anybody else?
Yes. Oh, it's got more exclusives than the Xbox. My entire PS3 collection is almost all exclusive titles now, and it's absurdly large. But I'm pissed because I was like, all right, I got a bunch of shit on the cloud. It's okay. I have to get a new Blu-ray player because I have so many Blu-rays. But it had all my saves from my PS1 games on it, PS1 and PS2.
So yeah, but can't you just pull the hard drive?
It doesn't. There's no way to get it off unless you can use the backup utility, and then the machine has to turn on. If you plug the hard drive into something else, it won't recognize it.
That's fucking stupid.
Yeah, and if you plug it into a new machine, it will reformat the old hard drive automatically.
You mean on a new PS3?
Yeah.
Way to go.
Have any kind of recovery service?
Yeah, no, there's nothing. There's a data you can transfer the data if the machine will turn on, but the Yellow Light of Death won't let it turn on. I had to crack it open and unscrew the disk drive to get Skyrim free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's the thing I do like about the 360. Okay, your 360 dies, put hard drive in new machine. Bam, good to go.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. I just hate the functionality in the 360. So much of the menus and Netflix and all the menus are so horrible to work with now.
But yeah, before the current dashboard and before the current or rather previous before current Netflix interface, I loved the Xbox and Netflix interfaces.
I haven't
now it's retarded.
I haven't used the Netflix interface for 360 simply because it's just plugged up to my monitor, so I might as well just then watch on my PC.
yeah
But I do, the PS3 one is good, but I just hate the cross media bar and all of just like the, you know, all of the Sony actual stuff, like their store. You have to like say that you want to download something in triplicate.
Yeah.
It's true. But it's also
the
but it's
user, the user experience with Sony is complete ass.
But yeah. It's easier to find shit now. Like the Xbox, it's so hard to find where your settings are and where certain things are in it. And it's so restrictive. And I was trying to back up a bunch of my save files, and it isn't letting me save anything to anything else. Like
certain files, we were trying to move over some of Lindsay's old Fable 2 or Fable 3 save files, since she has her own Xbox now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't letting me copy the saves from the hard drive to a memory unit.
Exactly.
Specifically for Fable 3. And I was going through this whole issue with Xbox support on Twitter. And eventually they said, well, maybe, you know, try moving instead of copying. And that worked. So I had to move them off of the hard drive in order to successfully get them onto the memory unit to move onto Lindsay's Xbox.
Yeah, it's just, it's more difficult to do the deeper system work on the Xbox. It's more of a pain in the ass to actually purchase and download things onto the PS3. Mm-hmm. So it's a trade-off.
It took me like 5 minutes the other day to remember or find how to change my dashboard theme on the Xbox.
Right, exactly.
It was easy before, but I was going around through all the system settings, looking here, looking there. I couldn't find it anywhere. Eventually I found it, but...
Yeah, well, needless to say, all of the current hardware could stand a usability pass for the next generation.
I agree.
Let's be honest, though, the only company that's probably actually going to do that, Microsoft.
I don't see Sony doing anything to improve the user experience.
Or Nintendo.
I don't mind using the Wii. Like, the Wii channel setup wasn't that bad. It's just that the Wii wasn't as impressive as, you know, my Xbox or PS3.
Or what's my weird, iPhone.
Yeah. I was thinking about the new systems the other day, and what's strange with Nintendo and Sony is that they kind of treat the game industry like they are the only players in it. Like, they just do whatever the hell they want to do, and they don't care about what Microsoft's doing or what Nintendo's doing, or if it's Nintendo, they don't care about what Sony's doing. They just decide what the hardware is going to be, what the dev kits are going to be, and they are so stubborn that they've really been left behind now. Whereas Microsoft's like, hey, developers, what can we do to make your life easy? And they really pay attention to what everyone else is doing and try to think forward, where Sony just kind of throws shit at the wall and assume people are going to take it because they're fucking Sony. And Nintendo's the same way. Like, they don't actually care about their customers.
But the problem is people keep buying it.
That's true.
Hopefully that starts changing and, you know, a lesson is learned, but people keep buying it.
I think Sony's picked up on that. I think the next PlayStation will be a lot more developed with users in mind and with new technology. I think Nintendo, the Wii U, is going to be a total misstep, and they're going to learn their lesson.
I will say, as a consumer, I am looking forward to Sony interrupting my gameplay with commercials, because how else am I going to see things I could buy unless they're presented to me in the middle of whatever I'm doing?
If that ever happens, I am immediately dumping every Sony product and I'm done.
I have a feeling that this current generation of consoles is going to be the generation I'm going to stick to for a while, because there's so many rumors and possibilities of what they're going to do with the next.
It's already lasted longer than any other generation of consoles in history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and by a wide margin too, which is it's absolutely staggering. And then when you look at like the quality of titles that came out when it launched, and then like in terms of visuals and the quality of titles now, there is a huge leap.
Oh yeah. Hardware, it's just learning how to take advantage of it.
Yeah. But it's just, I mean, even, you know, in the last couple of years, you're seeing a leap in quality of visuals. When there really shouldn't be much more knowledge of what the hardware is capable of.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the PS3, more than the Xbox, still has so much more room to grow because of the Blu-ray disc, because of how people are just learning how to take advantage of everything on the system. I don't know if you saw the new Quantic Dream, that Kara demo they did.
the in-game engine earlier stuff. This year.
Jeez, yeah, mind blowing. So I mean, I don't even.
Yeah, but it's only like those first party people who are really, because I bet those first party people can call up like the Sony engineers and be like, so cell processor, how the fuck do I work this thing?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. There's no argument whatsoever for me on that, but there's still so much versatility that I don't care about new systems. And if they're going to say, oh, we're going to restrict used games. Hey, we're going to require a constant internet connection. Hey, we're going to show commercials on the shit more than the Xbox already does. I won't pick up any new consoles. Why would I?
Well, I don't even think we're going to hear a big announcement from Sony or Microsoft until next year at the earliest for this. Okay. They are going to let Nintendo hang themselves with the Wii U for a good long while before they do anything. Like I was talking with a friend of mine.
That would be a good move.
Oh yeah,
You take one of the big competitors out of the market.
Mm-hmm. Like one of my friends is in London right now. She's getting her doctorate or some advanced degree in marketing. And I was talking with her about, she's doing it about how like Nintendo is awesome. And I was all like, you're retarded. She's like, well, what do you mean? Like, look at all the stuff they've done and what they're going to do with the Wii U. And I'm like, have you seen a Wii U? Have you seen a game play on it? Have you held the controller? And she's like, no, I haven't. I've only been going off of what other people have told me. And I'm like, I have done two of the three things in that list. And it is completely underwhelming. Well, it doesn't have to be super crazy. I'm like, no, it does now. Because all of these people, all of the installed Wii user base are all like, okay, so we got Shake and Waggle and we got crappy graphics compared to my kid over there who's playing, you know, Call of Duty and it looks amazing. This doesn't do HD. It doesn't do DVDs. It doesn't do quality Netflix. You know.
What does it do?
What does this thing do? Oh, and then the new one is basically the same thing, but I have to hold an iPad, and I can only use one of these stupid iPads?
Yeah. And they're going to cost me how much to get?
Their problem is that they assume that their next console... They did the same thing with the original Nintendo. The original Nintendo went gangbusters, and people that wouldn't think to have been gamers. All of a sudden, people are buying it for their kids. It's blowing up like crazy. And their other systems never sold quite as well because a parent that buys that system and they're just casual gamers, it's now riding in their closet or sitting on their entertainment center collecting inches of dust. Why would they go out and buy a new console?
Yeah.
They were already underwhelmed with the Wii. They don't really care as much. They had their foray into it. And now you're going to have to wait for those casual people to come back in another 10-year cycle when there's new parents and new kids and, you know, there's that new audience. But the Wii people, they're not going to all follow Nintendo to the Wii U.
Oh, God. Yeah, from what you're saying right now, I just had a thought. You have these kids who love the Wii because, you know, the cartoony kind of graphics and they like the motion controls, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, you have a market that genuinely appreciates and loves the Wii. They're going to grow up to become parents and they're going to have fond memories of the Wii as their childhood console. That just blows my mind.
That is really depressing. But I don't think that they love the Wii enough or that parents are convinced enough to follow with the Wii U. Because the casual gamer and the sort of wider market opening up to video games, it doesn't happen every cycle. It happens every, you know, 10 or 15 years where you get that huge rush of new gamers to a new console.
Yeah.
And the Wii just happened to get it, but you didn't see that sort of the NES success of any console. You know, you had the PS2 and then you had the Wii. And what else has ever been as popular as those two? I just don't think any system is going to sell like the Wii did this generation.
No, and you know what? I really hope that none of them do. Because like console manufacturers need to look at the console itself as a long-term investment in software, not as a way to make a whole bunch of cash quick on hardware.
I agree, yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just... Like, that's the thing that I really love about, you know, Microsoft and what they did with the 360 is that it really was about making sure that you had the highest quality versions of the multi-platform titles, especially in the first couple years. And then you have some really just badass online support and you have some badass first-party stuff. I mean, like, personally, I hate Gears of War, but It was huge, and it was an amazing success. Xbox Live still beats the shit out of PSN. You know, and that's leaving out PSN getting hacked. You know, and they got there. When you think about it, the 360 is really the first system that was first to the market in its generation that didn't fail.
That's true.
I mean, like, yeah, the Genesis didn't fail, but it wasn't as big as the SNES. The Saturn failed. The Dreamcast failed. And it wasn't the fault of any of the systems. So it was because it was first to the market by way too wide of a margin. And it didn't have enough. It didn't have the features that the other systems had that ended up winning.
When the Dreamcast was way too advanced, like it was years ahead of what people were wanting out of a system.
Except it didn't have the thing that made the PS2 as big of a success as it was, the DVD player.
Absolutely. Well, people, they need to realize that consoles are now, they're entertainment systems. They're entertainment solutions. Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, I pitched
my mom on getting a 360 potentially because it would play DVDs and Netflix and she didn't end up getting one. But, I mean, I made a serious pitch to my mother who doesn't give a rat's ass about video games to buy a 360.
Well, as soon as my PS3 died, I went out that night and I bought a new PS3 because I have a huge Blu-ray collection because I have Hulu and Netflix. I mean, I could use Hulu and Netflix in my 360, but I don't have another Blu-ray player. I've got tons of games for the PS3. Like, it is the go-to entertainment section for our house.
Hell, if Sony, since they actually have a fairly okay TV line, could find a way to build a PS4 into a television and make like a good television or a series of televisions for a decent price, you know, I mean, bam, then you have everything you need all in one box.
Yeah.
They just need to learn to put their TV and tie it to the damn system. That's what I don't understand is we have Hulu and we've got Netflix. Why doesn't Sony through the PlayStation Store put their TV shows? When NBC makes a deal with Sony to do Community, Sony should say, okay, but we're also going to put the episodes up on our PlayStation network for people to watch. Yeah. And do what Hulu does, put a commercial or two on at the beginning of it or at the end of it, whatever. And do it that way. That'd be fantastic. I don't know why they don't do that with their movies and their TV shows.
Because
it makes too much sense, probably.
Yeah.
You're thinking about it like an American who wants to do things simply and for money.
Right.
See, I like this. You know, we're back to what we do best, and we're complaining about shit.
Complaining.
20 minutes after talking about, hey, you know, we've been doing all this positive talking. Let's keep it going. We're back to who we are.
Yeah, but you know what? We may be complaining about stuff, but at least we're not like random internet trolls who just complain. We're being
constructive.
Yeah, we complain and then we put forth an alternative as to how it could work better.
That's true.
Absolutely.
You know, we identify a single issue and we pitch a couple solutions.
And luckily enough, we haven't seen the new systems yet. So, hey, they could still listen to this and take our advice to heart and we'll just rant and rave about how much we love the new systems when they come out.
I actually heard that one of our four subscribers is Major Nelson.
Oh, see, there you go. What else do you need?
So. Fascinating.
I don't know where I heard that or if I actually heard it at all.
Right.
But also, real quick, things I love. Diablo 3.
I've got it installed on my laptop, and I have yet to remember to bring my all-surface mouse home from the office so that I could actually do anything with it.
It's really good. The connection errors are an entirely different issue than from the game itself. They suck. Don't get me wrong. And there's just a few things, like one of my big personal gripes is that everything has to be done on Battle.net, including your single player game. So you can get lag playing with absolutely no one else. Because you have to be playing on the Battle.net servers as opposed to playing here locally on your own machine.
That first night was a goddamn disaster.
Like, I ended up accidentally staying up until 2 a.m. when everything unlocked because apparently getting world first in Diablo matters. So everybody has to be locked to a single time zone, which is stupid.
I agree.
You know, especially since Europe isn't tied to our time zone, so they're obviously going to get world first because they get first crack at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, who cares about world first on a primarily single player game?
Yeah,
right.
No one. So that whole snafu aside, I actually ended up, I was writing or something until 2 a.m. and I was all like, oh, I'll try logging in, error 37. And I'm just like, you're fucking kidding me, right? You have two games that are played primarily, that are played only online at this point for the most part. How are you failing at an online launch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a debacle. And that's part of what scares me is the constant internet attachment, like for any game. Mm-hmm. Part of the charm of Diablo 2 was you could play it anywhere you went on almost any system. You didn't have to be online. I would like to have a game where, you know, hey, the power fails or I don't have internet for a couple hours. Well, I can at least play Diablo 3. That'd be great. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. It's stupid. And for people that don't have decent internet connections.
Exactly.
It's just absolutely stupid.
The whole thing about it is it's just their way of fighting piracy. Well, for one, I hate to tell them piracy is going to happen. People will eventually find a way.
They are smarter than the engineers who are building the DRM.
Yeah, the PC because the engineers version of are doing it for a paycheck. The other guys are doing it to prove a point.
Yeah.
Right, the Assassin's Creed 2, I think it was 2 that had the always-on DRM that pirates broke, and it was easier to play it, the pirated version, because there was no DRM, than going through all the Ubisoft hoops.
Mm-hmm.
So people, there's ways around always-on internet connections, especially for a single-player game.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I'll guarantee there's already pirated versions out there of Diablo 3 single-player. Oh.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. I wouldn't doubt, like, for a moment that they haven't figured out how to set up a private server like people did for WoW and just have, like, their own computer set up as their own server so they're playing it entirely locally and saying, fuck you, Blizzard, I'm playing on my own with no lag.
Right.
You know, like, it's there. It will happen. I mean, it's just like, I'm sorry, you can patrol the internet all you want. But it's never going to stop piracy. And if there's one thing that we have learned in the last, like, I don't know, ever, is that piracy has had nearly no true demonstrable effect to the industry itself.
Not at all. And you've got, what is it, the recording industry is suing LimeWire for $73 trillion.
Yeah.
Which is more money than exists in the world.
That kid that got his case was thrown out of the Supreme Court and they're suing him for like $675,000 because he downloaded I think 10 songs something ridiculous, and it's not going to stop anything. It doesn't scare anyone. The people that are going to get away with it and are prolific are smart enough that you're not going to catch them.
And when you do you're going to have someone else step up to take their place.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's like when Napster went down, LimeWire, Kazaa, Morpheus, all that stuff just popped up.
I am a fat American and I am lazy. I will pay for convenience. Like I will pay more money in order to get to not have to leave my couch to rent a movie or get a game than to drive to the store and do it.
Yeah.
I am totally okay with that. So I will pay $50 for Diablo if I can play it easily, conveniently, and quickly right away, than trying to go through the hassle of pirating it. But if you make it a pain in the ass where I stay up till 3 a.m. for servers to go live to try Diablo and can't get on until the afternoon the next day, what the hell's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. And it's just I'm just so sick of it. It's just because especially right now with that whole launch thing, like if they had just staggered the launch by allowing people for all of the necessary time zones to play at midnight their own time, we probably wouldn't have had error 37 messages, because when 3 a.m. Eastern time rolled around, some of those people would be tired and going to bed, so that way those Pacific people wouldn't have to worry about all that stuff, and then us in like the other three time zones wouldn't have to be like, well, this is stupid, I just went to the store, waited in line for 2 hours, got home, installed it, and then couldn't play it.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't know. I can't imagine how Blizzard, who has handled online games for how long and knew how many people had pre-ordered it, had pre-downloaded it, how many people were ready for it. They knew the numbers. How were they not prepared?
Here's probably exactly what happened. They said, okay, we have, you know, 3 million or whatever pre-orders or pre-downloads. We have 3 million people who are going to be playing this game. Well, not all of them are going to pick it up at midnight. Not all of them are going to play at the same time. And not all of them are going to play for the next year, year and a half until the first expansion comes out. So let's figure for a 1.5 to 2 million active user base and build for that. That's probably exactly what happened. I might be off on the numbers, but they probably built more on what their sustainable long-term user base is going to be.
I just,
in a way, it makes sense, but at the same time, it's better. Like, it's a debate I had with my wife last weekend about road construction. It is better to spend more money up front and, you know, save money long term and upkeep costs and fixing and replacement than it is to spend cheaply at the beginning and then have to spend a whole boatload of cash later on rebuilding and fixing and all that stuff. I mean, at least to me anyway, and especially if I were a company that ran the biggest MMO ever and was pulling in millions of dollars a month.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
And it's not like people have been waiting and talking about Diablo 3 for over 12 a decade years. Or anything. Yeah.
Like, there are people who exist who are young, who have been alive for the entire development cycle of this game, and that's absolutely ridiculous.
It's, you know, like Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely, like, I'll be honest here, Blizzard, 12 years to make a game is too fucking long. Like, Diablo 3 is great, and you ultimately ended up making a great game, but this wasn't the game that they've been making for 12 years. This is probably a game that they've been working on for the last 4. So that says to me, so what happened to the other 8 years of work? Did they, after the first 4 years of that, did they have a game and said, no, scrap it, let's do it again? No, scrap it, let's do it again? Is that, like...
It has to be, because the game isn't that big. It isn't that...
No, and it, not only is it not that big and not that detailed, but I have two major gripes with it. One, I'm not going to talk about because it's a spoiler. Two, is that it is the best hits of Diablo. That is exactly what it is. Every act is essentially an act or the entirety of a previous Diablo game that is just thrown into a different, that is thrown into Diablo 3. Like, Act 1 of Diablo 3 is Diablo 2, Act 1, Diablo 2, and all of Diablo 1. Act 2 is Act 2 of Diablo 2. Act 3 is Lords of Destruction. Like, that is pretty much exactly what all of these things are. And in a way, it's infuriating. In another way, it's cool. But it's just like, come on, guys. You've had 12 fucking years to build this game. Take us to different places. The world of Sanctuary is not that small. I know. I have read some of the books. You know? Come on, guys. That one alone.
But yeah, it was a failure. It was really depressing, sad launch, and I'm not nearly as impressed with the game as I should be considering all the bullshit I went through to get it and to be able to play it.
Yeah, but as I said, that aside, like, let's just leave that all out of it. Diablo 3 is a great game.
It is, absolutely.
You know, it reaffirms why those types of games are called Diablo clones.
Yeah.
So don't let my hating on that make you think I don't like it.
Because yeah, no, it's fun. It's addicting. Like, I love dungeon crawlers. I'm glad I've got it. But still, it's disappointing that Blizzard should know better. I expect more out of them, especially when they only have 3 games.
Yeah. No, they have a 4th. They're working on it. It's called Titan, and apparently, it has in-game advertising. I'm not even kidding on that. They had a job posting a while back for programmers for in-game advertising for Titan. Like, I wish I was kidding about that. Because, like, Blizzard was, like, one of the last holdouts. You know, like, that shining beacon of integrity. And now it's gone. At least we still have Bethesda.
It's true.
Yeah. Also, Elder Scrolls Online actually sounds pretty cool.
Oh, Jesus, does it. Yes.
I'm just sad, though, because my favorite race, the Khajiit, is teamed up in the faction with the Eldar, and I hate them. So I can't play them.
Sorry for you.
I might have to go with the Argonians because they're up with the Nords, and the Nords are awesome.
The Argonians are awesome, too.
I like iguana people.
It looks amazing. I was going through all the screenshots in the Game Informer, and it looks gorgeous. And that world is so huge. I can't wait to be able to see all the areas we haven't looked at before.
Oh, yeah. And the idea of, like, just random dungeon. Like, they'll have, like, the big world map, right? And they're saying there'll be dungeons. They'll be marked out. And you'll be able to just see it and be like, oh, that's a level 20 whatever dungeon and blah, 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 blah. But there will be hidden ones just, like, in the actual games where it's like you'll explore and you'll be like, oh, what's this? It looks like a little cave here. And then it's like, boom, you're in an instance.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, that just sounds great. I mean, like, I imagine that they've been working on this game for the better part of the last 8 years. Like, I mean, they have to have been doing this if it's anywhere near as big as they say.
It's exciting. They said next year, too, for a release, which is...
I know, right?
Ugh, surprising. Especially as obsessed as I've been on WoW lately. I'm worried about getting another MMO.
We just ended our raid. We voted on Thursday night, and so we're all on break until Myst comes out. So we're losing like three people. So if you want to come roll Horde on my server and you're pretty decent and can free up three nights a week.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure I can. Absolutely.
Yeah, are you any good?
Well, we'll see. Depends on what I roll. I mean, yeah.
Well, I think we have tanks covered.
Okay.
We need heals and range. We like to roll range DPS heavy because there's very rarely a fight where that's a problem.
Okay, well, I like rolling heals, so there you go.
All right, man. I'll let my raid leader know. There we are. Woo-hoo. Runers rock. Making things come together, bringing gamers together. Also, did we say the episode number?
No, we haven't.
We're fucking terrible at this.
I every time I thought of a good point to jump in with it, the conversation suddenly got, you know, more interesting to where I wanted to say something else, and so I didn't say the episode number. So I figured, fuck it, I'll just save it until we end the episode.
Can you embed a link to our new favorite rap song as well?
Oh, God.
You know what? I will put it in the write-up that goes up on Monday.
Okay, yeah, you really need to spread the word on that one.
Absolutely.
I don't. That is going no further than me. I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
I might tell my wife about it.
There you go.
I looked up the. I looked her up. I was like, "This has got to be satire. There's no way this is real." And oh, it is. It is.
I've got to make a note to remember to put her in the write-up. This gay smell, yo. You'll find out.
And the rest of her song titles are just as good.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet. I don't even want to know.
Well. This has been episode 30 of Marooners Talk. We're calling this one Old People Talking About Cartoons, but our original title, which had something to do about us not going on tangents, would have been equally appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, it was episode 30, the one where we don't go on tangents and never lie.
Exactly. So, yeah, you can find us everywhere that you are always able to find us. Obviously, you found us if you're listening to this, so I guess I don't really need to go through the whole list. Anything else?
Midichlorians suck.
Yeah, they do. You know one of the other benefits of Machete Order?
Yeah, no, that's why I just read it. I just read that. And...
They don't mention midichlorians after the first movie.
You know, I really did enjoy your little post about the whole midichlorian blood black market thing.
Thank you.
Because, like, seriously, then maybe that's what death sticks are. But that would be just absolutely ridiculous that you could just, like, crush up some dude's blood and then snort it and then be like Uber Jedi. It'd be like that, like, Red Sand shit in In Mass Effect that like boost your biotics very briefly.
Yeah.
So. But Red Sand made sense. Sorry.
It's true. All right. Well, I'm going to go get lunch.
All right. Enjoy.
You guys have a good week.
You too. Take it easy, buddy.
You too, man.